Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Previously on The Rundown with Darren Weldrick.
You know, running is one of those things that the more work you put in, the better your foundation and the better you'll be. That kind of thing. It just doesn't lie. It's the most honest sport, for me at least. One of the most honest pursuits, if you can look at it that way. And so then, you know, I mean, I coach runners, I strength train runners, I run myself, my friends are runners. You know, for the longest time, I read about runners and all this stuff. So my life became, you know, and I run commute. It was all about running.
On this episode of The Rundown, I had a great chat with my friend, Leisha Mancini. She was active as a kid, but got in with the wrong crowd in her late teens, until one day she decided it was time to take her life back. From her first triathlon to her first 100K race, she breaks down her most challenging moments and her greatest triumphs in the sport. Over the last 6 years, she carved her place in the run community. She's a key leader of the Run Right Athletics Club, and she now has a run club of her own called Prefontaine. Join us as we talk about everything run and get ready to be inspired. This episode of The Rundown is presented by the 2020 WRG Classic. If you know me well enough, you know that I have two passions when it comes to sport, running and hockey. For the last 3 years, I've participated in an awesome outdoor hockey festival called the WRG Classic. It's a fundraiser working to bring hockey to underserved communities in Montreal through hosting a tournament and outdoor winter festival. Guests, participants, and spectators dress in early 20th century fashion and share a fun day of hockey-inspired games, activities, food and drinks, and live entertainment. This year will be the biggest edition ever, adding a full weekend of outdoor fun, including live music, DJs, activities for kids, a mini dog park for canines, and of course, a hockey-inspired retro diner-style food station in partnership with September Cafe. The WRG Classic Festival will take place January 24th through the 26th at Parc Vinette, only steps away from the Lionel Groulx Metro Station. So make sure to claim your free ticket as soon as you can. Visit WRGClassic.com. That's WRGClassic.com. See you out there. In this week's news, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everyone. I'm so glad I can gift you an episode on Christmas Day. Maybe you're listening to this episode on the drive to a relative's, or slowly drifting into a food coma, or maybe you're out for a short run before the festivities begin. Whatever you're doing, I want to wish you and your families all the best. Appreciate those people around you and show gratitude for all the positive things we have in our life. And if you're grateful for The Rundown, please rate the show on iTunes and leave a comment too. I love hearing from you. As a bonus gift to you, I'd like to share a new podcast with you. Episode 2 guest Sabrina Cassis and Episode 5 guest Meg Feeney have now started their own podcast, which is also produced by WRG Studios, called Bed Talks by Alice Cass. It's a show filled with smart and intimate conversations about self-love. So if that's something you're into, I highly recommend you check them out on Apple Music, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Make sure to check the show notes for links and more information. That's all for now. Gotta run. So 5 years ago, I started running more and more within the run community. And as I mentioned, you get to meet a lot of faces and ones you see on a regular basis. And my next guest is someone that I met probably around that time, and we became friends almost instantly, and we've kind of grown through running, and she's here with me today to talk, and it's been a long time coming. So welcome to The Rundown, Leisha Mancini.
Thanks, Justino. Happy to be here.
Justino, oh, you're giving away my nicknames now.
Yeah. It's your celebrity name.
Where did Justino come from, actually?
Carole.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think it was your friend Caitlin. Oh, Caitlin said it one day, and Carole was like, it's the cutest thing I've ever heard, and it stuck.
It's true, yeah. Caitlin kind of came in. It was a community run, and Carole was there, and she caught wind of it. Mm-hmm. And then it stuck from there. Yeah. Thanks, Carole.
Yeah.
Carole and Gulf are their friends, yeah. So yeah, I like this podcast, like I said, is to share people's stories, and you're obviously like a big, I know you probably don't see yourself this way, but like a big part of the Montreal run scene. And so I wanted to have you on to kind of share your story. And so can you tell us a bit about how it was growing up as Leisha as a kid, and were you always active, and where did running kind of kick in?
Growing up, I was a very active child. I was often left to my own devices, so I would, you know, get into trouble as often as I could. No brothers or sisters, so it was, yeah, I was left to my own devices. Mm-hmm. Sports, I mean, I did like after school activities, and like I didn't commit to a sport growing up, and running, I really did find running very late in life. It was in my late 20s, early 30s. So yeah, it's just been a few years, and yeah.
So what were you into like growing up? Like what kind of sports were you into?
I dabbled in everything. I played soccer when I was young. I remember like I went to Westmont Sports Camp and I played a lot of soccer. Field hockey, ping pong, when it was raining. I did figure skating for a while. Very, very diverse. Okay. It was all the things.
Did that carry through, like, through your schooling? Or, like, did something stick for you?
No, nothing stuck. So I got to high school. I started smoking cigarettes and hanging out with the smokers. And sports was not cool with them. So... No, I traded in all the active lifestyle. I traded it all in for shitty lungs.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And was it just because like those were the people you clicked with a bit more, and that's kind of why you gravitated in that direction?
Yeah. Well, shit got stormy for me in my teen years. Like my mom got sick. I was placed in a foster home. So there's some like dark moments, and I mean, I don't think I had guidance. Like I feel like if somebody would have stepped in and said like, "Hey, you should get into the sport and focus on this, and you're really good at this," and I probably would have listened to them. And instead, I was left to my own devices, and I chose the smokers and the kids who got into trouble.
Kind of as your outlet a little bit, yeah. And so how long did that go on for, and when did it change for you? What, like, was there a moment, like, I don't think you smoke now.
Nope,
I've never seen you smoke.
No, it's been over 10 years that I quit.
Oh, good for you. Congrats.
Thanks. When did it, I don't know, it's, I guess, early 20s. I kind of took ownership of my life a bit more, and, I got responsible. I mean, I feel like I could have taken two very obvious paths in life, and I could have really gone down the dark road and gotten myself into some serious trouble. And I knew that nobody was going to dig me out of whatever trouble I got into. So I made the decision to just like to steer clear of that stuff. And yeah.
Was there like a moment that you can pinpoint, or was it just like a general, like, I gotta get healthier. I wanna change my life.
No, there was no moment.
Okay.
No, there really wasn't. It was gradual. It was, yeah, no, I wish there's no good story for that.
Yeah.
No, it's just, yeah.
But anyways, you found your way a little bit and decided. So what kind of changes, like positive changes, did you start making in your life to kind of make that switch?
I guess like, I don't know. I became vegan, first of all, and I got really serious about that. And I remember working at a summer camp one year and being so rigid in my veganism. And at the time it was just, there were no options. Nobody even knew what it meant. Mm-hmm. And I spent that entire summer eating like toasted hot dog buns with mustard. And I got so sick. I got so sick, but I was just like, no, there's no option. There's no way I'm going to eat anything that has any kind of animal product in it. And I mean, through the years, there's leaps and bounds, Like you could anyone could be a vegan now anywhere. And so I know that was a big change in my life, just making that conscious decision. Again, quitting smoking was a huge one too.
And the running.
Yeah, well, the running came a little later, yeah.
And what jump-started that?
The running, I feel like it was born when I heard of somebody who I'd gone to elementary school with that had just done a triathlon. And I was like, a triathlon? That's madness. Like, what even is that? Who does that? And I looked into it, and I saw that the Esprit triathlon was, like, I don't know, a few months away, and I was like, oh, screw it, I'm signing up. If this person could do it, I could do it too. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. It had been like 20 years since I'd swam, so that was like I had to reteach myself how to swim. I trained on a junky old mountain bike. And for the running, I had no concept of distance. I knew I had to run this 5 kilometers, which is like, it could be any distance when you don't know it. So I Google mapped it, and I got my friend to drop me off 5K from home, and I had to run home. And I did it in like, I don't know, like 35 minutes in like surf shorts and skate shoes, like just like a mess. I was just a mess. And then I just kept doing that all summer. I did the triathlon, and I was like, okay, this is a lifestyle I could adapt. This is awesome. I was very proud of myself. And then the following year,
like, now the first one, did you do it with any kind of knowledge of training or
no.
or any kind no. of back? No.
No, I don't even know if I researched anything.
Okay.
I was just like, you know, this distance is what I'd have to swim. Therefore, that equals to this many laps. So I would just do that many laps as often as I could.
Just try and get it done every time.
Yeah.
And it was a sprint, right?
It was a sprint, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And Esprit's nice because it's like right in, it's in Montreal, so you don't have to travel far or anything like that. And
yeah, it was super convenient. And
That's pretty sweet. Actually, the Esprit duathlon was how I first got into triathlon too.
Yeah.
And same thing, like I just didn't do the swim part because I didn't want to go train for it.
The worst.
Yeah. I wasn't confident in the water at all. The next year it was introduced to swim, and let's try and see what that's all about. But it's definitely a challenge. So after you completed that, you were you felt accomplished. You felt like, okay, this is something I feel good about myself.
Yeah. But I mean, we were going, that was in September, and then we're going into winter. So, I was just like, I was in school full time. So I was like, I'm not going to get myself to a pool all winter long, but what I can keep doing is running. Cause I mean, all I need is my shoes and treadmill or whatever. So I did that all winter. I believe things went downhill quickly after that. I got sick. My father died that November, and I was diagnosed with acute onset asthma a month after he died, and then everything changed for me. So like running any kind of sport, any kind of activity, even walking was almost impossible for me.
Okay. So what now, obviously you're running again, but so how did you work through all those things and to get yourself to a place to be able to do, you know, you do like, you do ultras now, you do marathons, and quite well. So,
I took a few years. I took a good solid 3 years to get the medication right. So I would find something that worked, a pump or like a combination of things that worked. And it would work for like 3 months, and then it would just stop working. So I was back in the hospital. I was in and out of the hospitals a lot. And then, eventually we found a good inhaler that works. And it's been working for like going on 5 years now.
Okay. So that was kind of like a breakthrough, like trial and error, test it out. But you were like motivated to figure it out, right? Like it must have been frustrating.
It was not an option to not be able to breathe. It was like I was completely out of breath just walking to my bathroom in the morning.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that can't
be. It's really
be
bad asthma.
A fun feeling.
Eh? No control. I had no control over it.
So now you still have the pump. You still take.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
But you're still, you know, obviously you're running and stuff like that. So
yeah, it doesn't affect my lifestyle at all.
Okay, that's good. I didn't even know that. That's awesome. I mean, that's got to be like challenging thing. Like, wouldn't it be, it could be so easy to give up like on the sport or whatever you want to do next. Like, what kind of kept you in it? Like, what kept you motivated to keep going and learning how to become a better runner? And
I mean, it was the opposite for me. The whole time I wasn't able to run, I'd promise myself that as soon as I could start breathing again, I'm getting back into it. Cause I just found it. It was like, I just found it and I'd fallen in love with it. And then it was taken away from me so quickly. And I just held on to that. And I was like, I'm going to get back there. And once I was able to start running again, I mean, I just have not stopped. It was like longer distances and faster and harder and higher.
You seem like pretty competitive too. I think like, are you like that by nature, or is it something that's come out with you in running? Or?
It's with myself. It's always trying to like, I'm always trying to do better. Mm-hmm. And it's just with running. It's come with running, I believe.
And how has the running evolved for you over the years? Like since the beginning, since you found it?
Since I found it, I don't think I feel like I didn't really think much about the running before. I just did it and I liked it and I liked how I felt. And now a lot more goes into it. So there's a lot more math involved and planning and training and yeah, calculating kilometers and what I'm training for and what that entails. And so it's evolved quite a bit. Before it was almost mindless, which is wonderful also. And now it's become much more than that.
But it probably like allowed you to get like build a good base anyways and like just get like little wins, run a little bit further each time.
Definitely.
Run a little bit more time. Like yeah. Time on your feet. Like do you remember what distances you were focused on at that stage? Like, was like you mentioned you did a sprint triathlon. Like what was the next goals after that? Like
when I was training for that, it was like 5K was the goal. So if I got on a treadmill, it was 5K. I'd stop immediately at 5K. There was no point in going more than that.
Yeah.
And it was that until I believe the next year, the asthma was slightly under control at that point, and I'd signed up for the 10K, the Montreal, 10K with a friend, and 10K to me at the time was just like, I don't even know if I could do this. It was a whole new world. So I built up to the 10K and I was like, I never have to go past 10K. 10K is the limit. Mm-hmm. Right. And here I am.
my way was the same way. Like it was just like, oh, well, what's the next thing? You know, like, and then I got, once I got to half, it was like 5 years of halves. And I just I stayed doing halves for 5 years. But then I was like, I feel like now there's more of a rush to get to more distance.
I feel that too. Yeah.
Where I feel like people should take their time to like master, you know, like when 5 feels easy, then maybe move on. When like 10 feels easy, and it all goes with effort too, right? Like
yeah.
5 should never feel easy until you reach that speed that you can't get any faster, you know?
But yeah.
What's your kind of feeling on that?
I feel like, especially you and I think we're surrounded by a lot of people who are surrounded by people who influence them to jump the gun on that stuff. Like I meet runners who've been running for less than a year who are signed up for marathons. And that's baffling to me. A marathon was so intimidating to me. And it was just like, it was so out of reach when I first started. And even now, like a marathon is a big deal. That's a huge training process that takes a huge chunk out of your life. It's not something to be taken lightly as far as running goes. I think there's people place a lot of importance on distance, and that's I don't know, like a 5K to me is harder than a marathon. A marathon, you like settle into your pace, you know what you're doing and you've practiced it. So like a 5K, you're balls out. Mm-hmm. Like for that whole distance, it's so hard. And it's just as impressive. And it's, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think
it's something that I'm learning too, you know. I think it's something you need to learn. Because even though I'm like focused on marathons,
yeah,
I think this season I'm starting to see like, maybe I'll take a step back. You know, I'll do one marathon,
mm-hmm.
but then the rest of the year I'll focus on my 5K, on my 10K times. Because mm-hmm. I think the more I listen to people and talk to people, it's like getting those times down.
Yeah.
It gives you, first of all, it gives you more time to practice them because
yeah.
they're shorter distance, recovery is less.
Yeah.
But also like a bit easier to manage and train for, because you're right.
Yeah.
Like, training 16 weeks for a marathon to get one shot at it every year, it's like a bit daunting, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then there's some people who do like back-to-back marathons. Like they'll do 3 or 4 marathons in a row. And I feel like I have a lot of respect for the marathon, and I feel like that almost takes away from it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a big deal, and serious runners will run one marathon a year, and that's their race of the year. And if they mess it up, well, they mess it up, and it's next year.
On to the next year, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Because there's an importance on recovery too, right?
Absolutely.
That we need to.
It's just as important.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you faced like what challenges have you faced in your running, and what like was it more early on or kind of as you went along? And
no, I think early on things were good. Like I remember I once I first got into running, I really enjoyed the trail, and I got into trail for a bit, but I kept spraining my ankles. It was just like I couldn't get away from it, and I would just always had these giant blue ankles, and I was like, I feel like trail is just not for me, and I have to stick to the road. So that was a challenge for me, because I was really enjoying being in the forest and in the mountains and stuff, and I really loved that discovery. So stepping away from it sucked. And then on the road, things were really good until, I mean, two and a half years ago, I started training for Boston, and I got plantar fasciitis, mm-hmm. and it settled in. And that whole year, all of 2018, basically, I was still running, and I was trying to run less, and I was getting a lot of treatment. I was seeing osteos and physios and acupuncturists and everybody, and I couldn't get a handle on it. It settled in, and so that was a huge challenge, because I realized every time I'd have to take a step back from running, it wasn't just running that I was stepping back from. It was like my community. It was all my friends. It was the endorphins. It was fresh air. It was everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was it was a challenging year.
I remember you going through that. It wasn't easy to watch. You know, it's never easy to watch somebody go through injury, mm-hmm. and like it's super frustrating. How did you like other than the physios and osteos and all those people, like what were some measures that you took to get back to health? And then once you were healthy, how do you manage to stay healthy?
I think what helped the most was seeing a podiatrist, and he gave me these little like arch stickers that you stick into your shoe, and I started running, and I was like really resistant to that. I was like, I don't want orthopedics, and like I want to run natural, but I tried those, and that did actually really help. And I stepped away from speed work for at least 6 weeks. Because speed in the end is what kills plantar fasciitis. It would always kick in so bad after that. So that was helpful. And I started training for trails. I did a lot more trails in 2019. And I guess just because it's like very different terrain and you're not doing the same movement over and over again, it helps.
Mm-hmm.
It helps with recovery. Yeah.
Any kind of weights or anything like that? Any
yes.
strength training?
Yeah, yes, actually, that's a huge that's a huge part of it. I started seeing Etienne Paquette at he opened a private gym called Meta, and he took me under his wing, and he was like, "Listen, I want to start training runners, especially like distance runners, and I want to train you. So yeah, I worked with him for a good part of the winter. I did heavy weight training, and yeah, actually that helped. I'd say that probably helped more than anything.
Mm. Yeah. And have you kept that up, or like what's the formula? Is it off season, then back off during the year?
Yeah, like I would get back into that probably now or in January. Thanks for the reminder. I have to get yeah, but that's super helpful, and I think that's something that runners often neglect, mm-hmm. and they just focus on like, well, run, and if I'm not running, then I'm not training, and it's so wrong. Like, you have to work your back chain, you have to work your butt, you have to work your core, everything, and we forget that.
Kind of covered all that stuff. And what kind of exercises are you doing in the gym? Can you give some examples?
Yeah, so hip thrusters, heavyweight hip thrusters, squats, like back squats were super helpful. A lot of lunges, like a ton of lunges, band work, glute work. I mean, he would plan it all for me, and which was really great. I didn't have to think about anything. But yeah, there's tons. I mean, Google there's tons of stuff out there.
I think back to your point about the lack of, or the big jumps in distance for people. Yeah. It's like, if you're just getting to running, like, I think I'm figuring this out now, you know, mm-hmm. like I had a hockey background,
mm-hmm.
Started running, never faced any major injuries, but I think I had some good strength built from hockey and from going to the gym back then, but then I kind of backed off a little bit, but it's something I want to bring back. But it also goes with like, I started mm-hmm. with like small distances and then built it up over time, and kind of allow yourself to build the base for the running. But it's super important. I think like if you're jumping up, like, good for you. You know, if you're jumping from a 5K to a marathon in a year, like, all the credit to you. I think there's something to be said about like the human body and what it's capable of.
Totally.
And all that. But if you want to do it and you don't want to hurt like crazy.
Well, that's it.
And to your full potential, like, there's no rush. Like,
no.
This is not something you're going to want to do for a year. If you really love running like we do.
Yeah.
It's something that's going to be like over time, and something you'll enjoy over time a lot more if you can stay healthy.
Well, yeah, and it's not about running as much as you can right now. For me anyways, it's about adapting it to my lifestyle, and like, I want to do this for as long as I can. Mm-hmm. And I know that being injured for a year really messes my life up, and I want to avoid that. So like, for me, the weight training, it helped me heal my injury, and it's also given me the foundation to prevent injuries in the future.
Future injuries. Yeah. And you just feel stronger, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's
feel it when you get on a hill.
You kind of have that in your back pocket. It's like, if you look at like any athlete, it's like, during the season, they might not lift as much, but in their off season, that's like hockey players, let's say, for example, they're getting trained for like the 3 months in the summer, hard work,
mm-hmm.
because they just, you know, because the season's so grueling, they need to prepare for that.
That's it. You build your base. Yeah. You need the foundation.
So that's it. I know you mentioned, Boston, like, we had the pleasure of it was my second Boston, your first Boston, which is like really cool to be able to share that with you.
Yeah,
like,
that's cool.
Was that like, when did Boston become a thing for you? Like, I know for me, I wasn't even on my radar. It was like, I was into triathlon and wanted to know what marathon felt like,
mm-hmm.
before I ran, you know, a long distance triathlon. And then Boston became a reality. When did it become a reality for you? Like,
I don't have like one of those, it's not a typical story. I ran the first, like my first marathon, I ran it here in Montreal. I ran it with my buddy Raph. We were just like, we're just going to like run it together. We'll take it easy. And I mean, I guess I knew in the back of my head that, like, you know, there was a time that I would have needed to achieve to get a BQ. But But it meant nothing to me. Like, I had no idea. I'd never run a marathon. I had no goals set on that. And then I think with 10K to go, my buddy Butch jumped in with us and he was like, you're on time for a BQ. Like, if you keep this pace up, you're going to BQ. And I was like, oh, well, shit, I may as well go for it. So I picked up the pace a bit and I finished with a BQ. And I mean, I remember writing it in the Instagram, like, this guy BQ'd, but like, I didn't really grasp the importance of it. Until I started noticing people around me who so many people have that as a goal, like the ultimate running goal is to run Boston. And so I was very fortunate for that. I was trained. I was like well-trained for a triathlon. So I didn't even train that hard for that marathon. It was a really lucky, fairly easy marathon that I BQ'd for, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But well deserved. You know, you're talented. Anybody that's seen you run knows that. And but it wasn't like really in the plans, I guess.
No.
But I think triathlon really gives you a good base for that too. Like,
yeah.
Have you completely given up on triathlon or kind of taken a step retired like me?
No. I did one that year. I did another. So I've done one sprint and one Olympic. And yeah, it's on my radar to do a half at some point.
Okay.
It's just the training, the swimming, and yeah.
When you jump back in, I'll jump back in.
Yeah, yeah. We put it
on air now, so it's got to happen.
All right.
What was the journey like for you to Boston, and what it? Can you tell us about your first experience and?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Other than the weather.
Oh, God. That's what stands out. Yeah. So training for a spring marathon while living and training in Montreal is something that I hadn't considered. And that was a crazy challenge for me. So like having these scheduled, like, okay, I'm supposed to run a long run. I have 30K today. And just, okay, well, it was like freezing rain yesterday. The streets are covered in ice. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. So it was either like 30K on a treadmill, or thank God for Marc-Langevin and the parking lot in Brossard. There was like 30 kilometers of 600 meter loops, which was, I mean, it's pretty torturous, but it was way better than ice running.
Yeah. And for anybody interested, that happens in Destrance. Underground parking.
It starts in January.
And it starts in January, so it's actually coming up. So
a lot of spring marathoners train, and they thank God for that, for them.
Well, when I was training for my first Boston, my first was with Mark, and it was his first as well.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah,
we were both doing our training indoors at Destrance in the parking lot, and now it's like exploded to like 400 people.
Oh, it's insane.
So for anybody interested, it's a good place to be.
Yeah, but I mean, that's when my plantar fasciitis kicked in. So there was that element that was, so I had like a time planned for, I really wanted to qualify for New York with the Boston. And then, the weather was just, it was a change of plans at the start line. It was just like, all right, got to rethink this. And just, I mean, it was survival mode, honestly.
From the start.
Yeah.
If anybody saw it on TV, it was like, someone called it a toilet bowl recently. Like, it was like,
it was horrible.
Yeah, it was just like,
it was the most unpleasant race.
Probably so the worst weather I've ever ran in, I think.
Yeah, I didn't get to enjoy. Like, people were cheering, and I didn't enjoy any of it. I just wanted it to be over from the very beginning. And I picked up a garbage bag off the ground on the route, and I my hands were in my shirt. I didn't take any gels. It was terrible. But I found my friend in the crowd, Danielle, and we ran at the same pace. We stuck together the whole way, and we were just in survival mode. So it was great, and I'd like to redo it, hopefully under better circumstances. And we're gunning for 2021.
Yeah, 125th anniversary. Yeah. Hopefully we get a bunch of people there.
Yeah. We're going to train. We're going to get everyone BQ'd this year.
Oh, hopefully, yeah. That's the dream. It's easier said than done.
Definitely.
I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have a goal, it's like, it's been nice to realize that and be fortunate enough to go back already. And, next year, like 2020, I'll take a step back and you know, allow a spot to somebody else, you know, because it's like,
it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And then hopefully go back for 2021 a little hungrier, which will be, which will be great. And we met, I think we really, looking back, we probably really connected at the Huracana race, eh?
Yes.
I think. Is that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you were running, why are you laughing?
The shoes.
Yeah, you were running with Butch and Pierre.
Yeah.
And we kept like going back and forth and passing each other until like, it was a 65K race.
Yeah.
A trail race. And then, you laugh at me for the shoe incident.
It was adorable.
But who takes off their shoes to cross a little river?
No, it was a trail. Yeah, well, there's rivers and mud everywhere. And Justin showed up with brand new, spanking new shoes.
Oh,
they were beautiful. And we got to the first river and we passed him and he was taking off his shoes to cross the river.
Like a princess.
It was so cute.
I swear it was for the blisters. I just didn't want my feet to get wet. And
But it's inevitable.
But anyways,
and I think that was at the fifth kilometer.
Fifth kilometer, yeah. And then around 35 or so, we just decided to stick together.
Yeah.
And I think it's been ever since then, we've kind of been running together and stuff, which has been pretty fun.
Yeah, that was a fun day. A lot of fun.
So I mentioned Butch and you mentioned Butch, but like, how did you meet Butch? Because I mean, for everyone listening like, and who knows you, like Butch and Leisha, it's like...
Yeah. I think so too.
You know what I mean?
The duo. Butch, I met him the first time I ran with East Laurier. I had trouble getting into that group. There was a really tight dynamic with everyone there already, and I think Butch was one of he'd recently joined also, but he's very friendly and he's always you know, willing to chill at the back and he's the best, Butch is the best. So he took me under his wing that first night and he ran with me and he like, I don't know, we chatted about running. And then, we clicked instantly. We're like the same age. We have the same sense of humor and, we had a lot in common and, we ran together until JP left. JP was the captain at the time and he left and he left it to Butch and I and three of the other members of the club. And so we captained the club for a bit. We led it for a while until Run Right started up and we
made the shift.
Yeah, we made the shift. And we traveled a lot. We've done a lot of races out of town, in town, and we've spent a lot of time running and talking about running and
Was that your first experience group running or
did yep.
you really? Okay.
Yeah, it was East Laurier. I was new to the plateau. I'm pretty sure it was Raph who became a good friend of mine. He ran by and he was wearing the East Laurier shirt and I was like, oh man, I got to get a shirt like that. So I ran up to him and I was like, where'd you get the shirt? And he was like, oh, you got to run with us if you want the shirt. So I was like, deal. That was the plan anyway. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you to, I always think about people that join a group for the first time, like, cause you know, I help lead WRG Run Club and run with a few groups and stuff. But I always try and make the people feel welcome, kind of like Butch did for you your first time. But was it tough for you to join a group when you've been used to solo running?
I was super intimidated. They all looked like they knew what they were doing. They all had matching shirts. They all looked really fit. They all knew one another. I had a lot of trouble integrating, especially the girls were really tight and they would post their own like East Laurier ladies. And I was never invited into those pictures. So I was like, ugh, you know, but in the end that just pushed me to run with the guys. Cause the guys were like really chill. There was like no intimidation with them. And I remember Mark Turner, I would always try to keep up with Mark and, I mean, ultimately, that's what got me to become a better runner and get faster, and I'm grateful for that now. But absolutely, it was intimidating, and now, like we run with Run Right and
love Run Right
and Prefontaine, and
yeah,
whenever there's a new person, like I always do, I think back at my first time and I know I'm like, okay, it took a lot for this person to show up tonight. They know nobody and everybody's talking to one another and this person just, you know, mm-hmm. And yeah, you're the best for that. I was like, hey, that's your first run.
Yeah. I almost did that last night, but anyways, we won't talk about that. But yeah, Run Right is awesome. And, like, I think there's just layers to our relationship, right? So like, I started running with Run Right. Why did I start running with them?
125? Run around.
No, it was a bit before that.
Was it?
Yeah, because I would show up and run with them.
Oh, yeah. You were there before.
A few times. Yeah. But the group was much smaller back then. Yeah. It was like that night, I ran, I think my first run ever was like me, Butch, and
Marty.
Three
of you, yeah.
Or something like that. And we ran up, I don't know what we ran up, but like Clark
something
or something.
Stupid,
something stupid. And they would always talk about, like, you know, Jeff, how great a runner Jeff was. But Jeff was injured at the time, I guess, and he wasn't running with the group. And then it was just, like, one night on the we were just chatting after the run, and it was like, yeah, like, we got this, we're doing this run around Montreal, like 125K around Montreal. And they were kind of talking about it, and they're like, we got to find someone else to run. And I'm like, hey guys, if you need somebody, like, just let me know. I know it's only a couple of weeks away, but let me know and I'd happily do that. I didn't even know them that well. And then that's where they invited me. I remember you texted me and you're like, see you tomorrow. And I'm like, what? And you're like, yeah, see you tomorrow. I'm like, what's going on? You're like, we're doing the runaround.
That's it.
125, which...
you're like, oh, okay, so it's confirmed.
Guff and Carol planned. And what a fun thing that was. We were testing out the route, six-man team or mm-hmm. six-person team, three girls, three guys, and with plans of doing it the following year, which was this year.
Yeah.
And that was such a cool, like, relay to do with you guys. And
that was awesome.
And I didn't know anyone.
It was the best day of your life.
I didn't really know anybody.
No.
It was the first time I had met Carol and Gulf and
I mean,
Marty.
I think that's the...
Or Marty, I knew a little bit, but...
We all got close on that. Like, I knew Gulf and Carol too, but I mean, that's what sealed it all together, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah.
And then the redo this year was even better.
Yeah.
Is that... Do you like that style of racing? Like, would you ever consider... I know Speed Project is a big thing, but it doesn't have to be Speed Project, but would you consider doing...
Yeah. Like, didn't you talk about one, like, in... Mount Hood or something?
Yeah, like Hood to Bay or something? Yeah, I got invited.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I mean, Speed Project was on our radar when we were running with East Laurier years and years ago, and Leslie. So it was like Leslie, DVD, Butch, and I were like, all right, we're going to do like a Montreal team. And I think in the end, we didn't follow through. And it was before Speed Project was even that popular. You didn't have to like put your name in and get picked. Like you just say you wanted to do it. But I don't think we could have raised the money in time. We're just like, oh, there's a lot of logistics that we can't figure out in such short notice. So we put it off, and then like Yamajo did it
last
year.
Yeah, great job by them for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And to get 12 people trained to do that is like a feat in
itself.
Through
the winter. Yeah. So I love that style of race. I loved our style, which was kind of just like thrown together. Really quick, no brands involved, no money involved, just some like rigatoni and some, I don't even know. Like, did we drink anything? I don't know.
Yeah. Like, we had water, some mixes in the water.
We had
like,
some CLA hats. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not much, but it was like super simple. It was super easy and it was just so much fun and nobody knew beforehand. People were just kind of like, what are you guys doing right now? And like, what was that all about? And I don't know that was chill. I like relay races. I love being in that team dynamic and like working together and like doing it again this summer with all of you guys. It was very awesome because there was like the competitive edge and like mm-hmm. we were just a little ahead of. Oh, it was
yeah.
It
we
was
almost.
Fun.
Oh, I think we could have finished second, but that's the beauty of relay races. Anything can happen.
You never know. Yeah.
And you know we'll challenge ourselves next year with the same team. I think we're just gonna stick to that.
Yeah.
And it's just too much fun and go from there. But you mentioned some nutrition. You mentioned like we had pasta and stuff in a longer race. And what are some tips? Like I know you said you're vegan too. I'm also vegan. So what are some like what do you normally eat? You know, pre race or pre run. And also for recovery, how do you kind of handle that?
I mean, with road races, I have a very strict routine. It's like, it's always oatmeal and like, it's always oatmeal basically. Mm-hmm. I drink a lot the days before. I usually try to get in a couple of liters of coconut water the day before. So I'm like super hydrated the day of. For like relays and trails, I'm fortunate enough to just like, pretty much anything goes. Like I could eat whatever. Gels don't cut it for me. I could do maple syrup, like endurance tap and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, longer distances is just, it's food. Like I need real food. Recovery, I'm vegan. So it's like, I need some kind of protein either in tofu or like protein shakes or whatever, carbs, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
People always wonder like what we get for protein.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you get enough protein?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you go for the beans and rice and do you do that?
I did for many years. I still do sometimes. Like I like lentils and stuff, but no, there's a lot of things I can't eat anymore. Mm. Like beans and stuff. Yeah.
Beans, chickpeas, and then get all your greens and spinach, rapini for us Italians.
A lot of rapini.
Yeah. Broccoli and all that stuff. I think that's like bananas, a lot of bananas. Like nuts are good for protein too. Just like
peanut butter is like a huge part of my life.
Yeah. I eat a lot of peanut butter.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Ever since I spoke to Cody Beals, he's like a Canadian triathlete.
Yeah.
He's like, I eat so much peanut butter.
Right.
It's like,
no.
And I'm like, really? So I think I upped my intake since then, you know, because he's like winning Ironman Tromblon and stuff like that. So
yeah,
like, he's doing something, right?
Secret to survival. Kareem and I just got back from 2 weeks in the States.
Mm. Yeah, that's like the ultimate running trip. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure.
The pictures were incredible. I'm super jealous for life.
The environment is amazing. I've had this calling to go out to like Sedona specifically and just see the Red Rocks for years now. The last place my dad traveled to was the Grand. He went to Vegas and he went to the Grand Canyon. He was like, Leisha, you got to check that shit out. It's like, it's the coolest place. And I didn't get to stay long enough, but it's amazing. So I had that in the back of my head for a long time. And this year marked 10 years that he died. And I happened to be there on the anniversary of his death. So there was something like significant about that and me wanting to go around that time. And Karima's schedule is kind of, I don't know. She's got a crazy schedule and she was like the one, I don't know. It's just like, hey, do you want to like take off for a couple of weeks, go to the States and run? And she's like, sure. And it was as easy as that. So nothing was planned and nothing was booked in advance. We landed in Phoenix, rented a car and just kind of like stopped at all the cool spots on the map. We got a giant thing of peanut butter early on and we pretty much just ate peanut butter for 2 weeks.
Lived on the cheap.
So we didn't eat in, we didn't go to restaurants or anything. It was like, wake up, go to a national park.
So what were the stops that you guys made?
First stop, we went to Flagstaff. We wanted to acclimatize the altitude a bit. Flagstaff is like it's a major stop for a lot of elite athletes go there and train.
Did you feel the altitude?
Yes. And it was insane. Yeah. It was hard. It was hard to breathe. It was our first and last stop. So we got to like compare, which was really fun. So we did Flagstaff.
What did you find? Had you gotten used to it or was it still difficult?
No. We got used to it. I mean, it was still difficult. Like it's still, still heave. But, it was completely different. The first time it was like torture. It was super cold when we landed too. It was like, we had left Montreal at 5 degrees and we landed in minus 13. We were like, what is happening? So it was cold and it was hard to breathe. It was like a whole bunch of stuff. But it's the perfect place. if you get a chance to train there, go. It's amazing.
I really want to.
Yeah.
It's on the bucket list for sure.
I love it. So Flagstaff, then we hit like Grand Canyon and we slowly moved we moved up into Utah. We stopped off at like Horseshoe Bend. We did Zion National Park. We ventured, we crossed some like desert we were kind of off the map. It was a little scary. We found this slot canyon. Karima was really scared. She was like, for sure we're lost. This is where we die. And it was such an adventure, though. It was a lot of fun. And then we did Bryce Canyon, and then we crossed Utah, and we hung out in Moab for a while. And that was, I think, for both of us, that was our favorite place. It was a really cool place. Lots of runners, lots of cyclists and mountain bikers. It's a really active city, town, I don't know. And then we made a couple little stops on our way back down to Flagstaff because we were like, oh, that was our favorite place. Let's go back there. And yeah, we did the last few days there.
Nice. Just a nice little runcation.
Yeah. like really unplanned. And we didn't plan. We ran every day. And that wasn't the plan originally. And then we were just like, hey, we still feel good.
How many kilometers did you log?
100K a week.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that your like standard now? Like when you're in training, is it always over a marathon now that you're training for?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah. Like now I'm not there just because it's winter and I don't know, I guess I'm at like 50 a week maybe, but yeah, I worked my way up to like 140 weeks this year and I felt good doing it. So I think before I was resistant to it, I was like, nobody needs to run that much if they're only training for like a marathon or whatever. And I'm like, no, easy kilometers. It's not about going fast or going hard. It's just about getting the kilometers in your legs. It feels good.
How long have you been running for now?
Like without interruption, 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good amount of time.
Yeah.
And like, what are the biggest lessons you've learned from running? Like, what are some things that you learned? Like if you look back through the years, like from the point you started to now, like what were some things you didn't know then that you know now that you would have told yourself back then?
That I could do way more than I believe I can do. I think, like, as I said before, I would run like my 5K and then I'd stop because I'd be like, well, that's enough, you know. And I never pushed myself, and I didn't try to test my limits. And now it's what I do all the time. And every time I do test my limits, and every time I do start like an ultra or 100K or whatever, I'm always like, it kind of feels like a pilgrimage. And I could accomplish anything. And I think that's something that I didn't have when I first started running. I didn't have faith in myself or the belief that I could accomplish anything big.
Mm. Good answer.
Thank you.
What's the, so that's a huge thing. I think belief and potential. Like I usually bring it up in my interviews. Like, I don't know if anybody believes that they can get to a certain point or knows that they can without some kind of guidance. Like, do you know, like when you realized you had something, like when you realized you had some potential to get better, like, and why, like what drives you to reach that potential?
The first 100K that I did 2 years ago, I trained with Butch. It was Butch and I, and we had said that, like, we're going to start this race together, we're going to finish this race together, and it was a big deal for both of us. And early on in the race for him, he had nutrition problems, and, like, he just was not eating, and, like, he was not retaining any water, and he was suffering. He suffered for so long, and I know he was struggling to stay in the game, and my gut was telling me like that he was going to drop and I'd have to finish this somehow on my own. And Butch ended up dropping very close to the end. He had like 25 kilometers to go. Mm. And Marty, who was supposed to pace him, ended up pacing me. And thank God for that. Cause like, I didn't have a headlamp. Like there was just no way I could have gone through that race without him. And finishing that race without Butch, it was bittersweet because I was proud and I got through it and I knew he was proud of me and I knew there was like a lot of disappointment that he couldn't get through it. And it instilled in me something like, for me in my head, there was no way I was going to finish that race without Butch. And in the end, I did. So I, that gave me a lot of, it gave me a lot of confidence. Like I can actually do this. And then the next year I set out and I did Gaspé and I did it by myself. I mean, I ran with people along the way, but that was like, I signed up by myself. I did it by myself. And like, I would have never been able to do that had I not done it the first time. And it just, I don't know.
Just try. You gotta try something to be able, especially at that distance. Like that's just insane. To realize that you can actually accomplish it. And that must've been like super hard to leave, you know, Butch behind.
It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. It felt terrible. And I was like, but there's no way I could stop. There's no reason for me to stop right now. And like, I have to do this. Like,
do you have desire to keep doing 100-mile races, or is it 100K or
100K?
Yeah. And like, why?
Well, like I said before, it's almost like a pilgrimage, and I don't know why the suffering, it's like getting to the darkest possible place and the hardest place where I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, and I don't think I could keep going, and then somehow managing to keep going and to get out of it, regardless of the suffering and the pain. And coming out the other end of that, there's nothing that compares to that. So yeah, I want to keep doing it, and I want to do 100 miles, and I want to do harder things, and I want to test my boundaries. And yeah.
How do you get through those tough moments? Like, what are there some cues that you use, or some mantras that you have, or something you tell yourself?
I have really good positive self-talk when I'm running, which is something I was able to recognize last year. In life, I don't think I have the best like positive self-talk. It's questionable sometimes, but with running, it's good, and I know it is. So I'm able to. I'm like, come on, Leisha, you got this. Like, one foot in front of the other, and sometimes thinking of certain people or certain things. And I know for Gaspé, I knew that people were following. So I was like, there's kind of like, but I don't want to let my friends down. And I know they want me to succeed too. So there's like something in that. I just try to grab elements from all over the place. Cause you need to.
You need a lot of elements.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that amount of time. How long does it take to get?
I think a little over 16 hours.
Okay. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah.
I give you guys full marks for that. I know it exists, and I know people do it, and I have zero desire to do it.
Well, I mean, you went through it with Jeff, mm-hmm. partially.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, that was a really interesting experience to watch him do 100 miles and...
suffering the entire time.
Yeah, walking 25 kilometers of it with him was definitely interesting.
Oh, Jeff.
But, a lot of fun conversations were had that day and night. We'll start in the night and end it in the day. But yeah, I mean, looking at him, he did not finish the race gracefully.
No.
He walked for a good portion of it. The whole end of it. But you could see that it meant something way more to him than just finishing. Like it was like a mission for him. There was like no, like he was going through excruciating pain. You could see it on his face, and there's nothing that was going to stop him from accomplishing that goal.
Not this year. No.
So it's like next level, like marathon. Okay. You could hurt and whatever, but like, you know, as if you're walking the end of it, like, you know, an hour, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
but you have like a good chunk of change to go. Like you have like 30 kilometers to go.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a lot of walking.
It's like a lot of walking.
It was 10 hours.
And if you're walking, it's because you're in pain. So it's like walking in pain.
Yeah. So pride, like determination goes over pride, I think, in that situation.
It's definitely determination that kicks in. Yeah.
And man, like, it was really cool to watch, actually. So what would you say is your greatest accomplishment in running so far?
I mean, it's the thing that stands out the most just because it's what just happened. But, Chicago was Chicago was a really great accomplishment.
Your second major?
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a really great year, like injury free, which was really fun. The training went great. Did a lot of speed work, more than I was used to in the past, just because I was like trying to avoid it for the injury. And I went in with a goal time, and I surpassed my goal time. Like I was very surprised that, yeah, because I'd had a lot of focus on trails. So I was like, I don't even know what a road marathon's going to look like anymore at this point. And it was so good. So right now I'm still proud of that.
On a high from that.
Yeah.
Now, like, I know you have a love for both, but because you had a high with the road running, are you going to stick to that, or are you going to go back, or how do you decide which goals?
I'm going to split my year again. So I'm going to focus on trail for the first half, and then I'm going to lean into road for the second half. Mm-hmm. Pretty much what I did last year.
Do you feel like they complement each other?
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Yeah. And cause I think people like usually choose it one direction or the other, but like what's your opinion on?
I find it, with trail training, you're doing a lot of climbing, you're doing a lot of cross training. So I feel like it helps build different muscle chains and gets you just stronger for the road running. I think if anything, all the road running would make it harder for the trails. Because, like, the slightest hill in a marathon, and there's hills in every marathon, it doesn't matter, no matter how flat they say it is.
Yeah.
There's always going to be hills.
That's true.
And some people feel it a lot more. Like, I just didn't feel anything in Chicago. Yeah.
Was it a flat course?
It felt like it was downhill the entire time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to do that one, I think.
It was so good.
I got to try it out. What's your next big goal?
I'm going back to Gaspé. To do the 100 again, and we're gonna do Squamish. This is a 50 miler in August, and New York in November.
That's a nice year.
Yep.
So what are the goals? Is it like always just to like beat your time, or like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's not so much about beating the time, but like finishing better. Whether it has to do with like feeling better. Like I felt like garbage after Gaspé. I was garbage for at least 24 hours, absolute garbage. So if I could finish feeling less like trash, that'd be great. That means I'm going in better shape, and I'm being more efficient, and I'm working better.
Mm-hmm.
For the road. Yeah. It's about time. It's about time always. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you tell somebody that's just looking to get into running, and like we see people like this all the time who like come to Run Club, and like they're maybe not like as experienced as us, but like we all started at the same point.
Yeah.
What kind of advice do you give anybody who like wants to get into running, or like wants to make a jump in distance?
I mean, my instinct is to say like join a run club because it's the best, but I know some people just they run to disconnect, and it's not about being with people. It's about like connecting with themselves. And so if somebody's looking to get into running and they're on their own, like just make sure you're not doing too much of the same thing. Make sure you're cross training, make sure you're building your muscle chains, make sure you're eating properly and sleeping and recovering. Cause it's not just about pushing yourself. And if you're the type to want to, you know, make it more social, like, yes, join a club, like, get the nerves, join a club, you will be welcome. Like all the clubs we have in Montreal, and I'm sure all the clubs pretty much everywhere, they're happy to have you. And it's just about, sticking it out. Go a couple of times until you make some friends, and until you meet your Butch or your Justin, and yeah, just
or
stick
Alicia.
It out.
And you just started your own run club too, which is something I wanted to talk about or touch on briefly, just to, like, why did you decide to do that? And, like, you're already part of so many, like, well, Run Right anyways, but, like, you run a lot on your own. And where did the idea come to start your own club? And
I was talking to two girls who run and live in the East End, they're with, like, where I live. And, I mean, there's nothing happening there. There's absolutely nothing. There's there's a whole bunch in the West and the plateau, they're everywhere, and there's just nothing. Nobody thought to start one out east, and we were just like, let's just do it. And since we started, there's been at least, I don't know, like 14 has been our lowest night. So it's working. People were just waiting for it to get started. Mm-hmm. So it's just about getting it kicked off.
Yeah, and I think it's great. Like, even for people in the plateau, it's not super far where the starting point is.
Yeah, no.
And, like, it's a really nice group, and you get to run in a different part of the city.
That's it,
I think the point you brought up about, like, switching it up.
Yeah.
Like, not doing the same route all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe doing indoor and outdoor running.
Yeah.
And, like, switching it up is, like, a huge part of it. But, yeah, I came the first two times. And
you did, yeah.
It was a nice little group. You started a bar, you ended at a bar.
Yeah.
Which is always fun. Have a beer after if you feel like it.
Or kombucha.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's on Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. And it starts from, what's the name of the bar again?
It's called Espace Public.
Espace Public.
So it's on Ontario. I think the cross street is de Chambly.
Okay. And it's called?
Espace Public. Oh, no, the run club? Prefontaine.
Yeah.
Prefontaine Run Club.
Yeah, which I love the name.
Which Justin had a big part of.
And I need... Yeah, I'm just good with, like, puns and stuff like that. But,
yeah,
there's a metro stop close by.
Yeah, and the street.
Kinda,
yeah.
And the street, and that kind of worked out great. So I'm super jealous. But I can still run with it. And when you guys have siglets, I will be the first to order.
All
yeah,
right.
That's awesome. For sure. Yeah, he's just, like, a legend. He's supposed to win the Olympics when they were in Montreal.
I know.
You know, fate had it that it wasn't his year.
Yeah,
so
tragic. Yeah.
Tragic, but still a legend and admired by many and still inspirational for a lot of runners out there too.
Yeah.
I'll end with the question I ask everybody. What does running mean to you?
Running is community. Running is friendships, it's health, it's passion, it's family.
And it's kind of taken over your life.
It has.
And mine too.
Perhaps to a fault, but yeah.
Yeah, I always say I have two lives, like my running friends, my running family, and then my family and my friends, you know, my old-time friends.
The people who run and the people who don't run,
mm-hmm.
They're like the ones who don't run, they just don't understand.
But it's great because like these things happen on a weekly basis. We're able to connect every week and share our stories and successes and failures in running and races and injuries and coming back from injury and all that stuff. And I think it's great. And and I also wanted to say, like, do you have any people that you want to thank, like people that support you? Any, like, I know that you're associated with like Saucony and stuff like that.
Saucony has been so much support since pretty much since I started running. Like I was what's the word?
Given an opportunity or.
No, I was like, I was already sold to Saucony before I had any relationship with them. Mm-hmm. It was like the only thing I wore. I was like known to just be in Saucony all the time. And and they approached me and they were like, listen, like we want to support you. So yeah, they've been fantastic. They're always there for me. They flew me out to Colorado to do some awesome spring campaign last year, which is like a trip of a lifetime. It's an incredible company. Mm. Ciele, of course.
Ciele
since day one.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Feels good to be fam. Yeah.
They're good people for sure. Bring everybody together.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thanks for coming in today. Like I always tell you, like, it's, you inspire a lot of people in the community, I'm sure, and without you even realizing it. And I know you're kind of like me where we stay quiet a bit, but it's good to, it's nice to hear it sometimes.
Thanks, Justina.
Yeah, no problem. And you have a nice little group with Prefontaine and Run Right's like a nice little family too. So I appreciate you coming in today and look forward to the next run and look forward to your 2020 season.
Yeah, yours too.
I know you're going to do great, and we'll definitely see each other soon.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Take care.
Take care.
This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. What's really good is running with people who are fun, friendly, and positive. Whatever your experience, age, or identity, you're welcome to join us at the base of Mount Royal every Monday night at 7 p.m. Just look for the group of smiling faces next to the monument. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. If you want to learn more, visit our website, iamarunner.ca, and check out their Instagram, at WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at iamarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at The Rundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
The Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henry, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and hosted by Justin Pugliese.